Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a loaded Friday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. After a couple of hours of our show today, the World Cup, the Women's World Cup starts. France, the co-favorites, will be playing in a couple of hours. So a couple of hours of us, then on FS1, we hand it over to our amazing World Cup teams and crews to take over in Paris and through France over the next 3.5 weeks. Cannot wait for it. Big, big day at Fox. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Very excited for the World Cup.
Very excited. So I'll be glued to my TV all weekend and for the next couple of weeks, and couldn't be happier. Let me start with this. So yesterday, the Philadelphia Eagles did something really smart, but it was also a little bit manipulative and deceptive in Psychology 101, and I love it. They gave Carson Wentz a $128 million deal, but Carson Wentz's deal was not for a couple years. But this is what the really good GMs, the really good owners, the really smart people running NFL teams do. First of all, there's a rule in the NFL. If you got a quarterback you like, you're better to pay him a little early than later and get into a bidding war. So Philadelphia, first of all, thought about that. But there's two bits of psychology here that are brilliant. Carson Wentz didn't have to be paid for 2 years. Carson Wentz has had injuries. Why now? Two reasons. Number one, Carson Wentz was hurt in college. Carson Wentz has been hurt in the NFL. Much like, you know, a Kawhi Leonard or a Paul George, if you can guarantee money to a player who's had injuries, psychologically, they'll almost always take it. Now, Carson Wentz could have easily said, I'm going to wait a year and a half. Patrick Mahomes is going to make $200 million. I'm not leaving $60 million on the table. But a smart GM knows the psychology of injuries. He knows, and good GMs know this, players rarely say no to early guaranteed money when they've had injuries. And Carson Wentz had a major college injury. He's had a major NFL injury. So he's not going to sit back there and wait. He knows all it takes is a rush end from Dallas to come in, chop that leg, and he'll never make this money. So Howie knew, I'm not only signing him early, I'm going to sign him a couple years early, and he's going to bite on this. If Carson Wentz had never had an injury, ask yourself, why would you sign it? Just wait. Wait 1 year, year and a half, sign for $200 million. Why would you sign it? I'm not saying Carson Wentz is making a huge mistake. I'm saying injuries psychologically play a part in this. It's why I think Kawhi Leonard has a chance to stay in Toronto. It's why I think Paul George, to some degree, thought, I'm not leaving $40 million on the table and going to L.A. I'll stay in OKC and get guaranteed money. That's the first part of the psychology 101 here. Here's the second part that's really smart. It's very Belichickian. Very Belichickian. You ever seen this where you turn in your homework early? I'm done. You put it on the table for the teacher. I'm done. All the other students are sweating. How'd he get done so early? Does he have all the answers? Oh, my God, why is it taking me so long? This hurts the Cowboys. The Cowboys have waited a little too long on Dak in some eyes. And so Philadelphia says, we're going to sign our quarterback to a contract early. And if you put Dak and Wentz up against each other statistically, Dak and his agent have an argument. They should make more than Carson Wentz. He's got a better winning percentage than Carson Wentz. His TD to interception ratio is right along with Carson Wentz. His passer rating's higher than Carson Wentz. He's never been hurt, unlike Carson Wentz. He's won a playoff game and Carson Wentz hasn't. He's 3-1 against Carson Wentz. Now, I think Carson Wentz is better than Dak. I think Dak is good. I think Carson's a very unique talent like Andrew Luck, who's had some injuries. But by signing him early, they go to their rival Cowboys. Look, we paid Carson $128 million. Dak, And his agent are like, we beat him head to head. We have more first place finishes division. We never get hurt. You know, last 3 years, only Tom Brady's got more wins than Dak Prescott. That is a fact. I'm not making that up. Clarence Hill pointed this out in Dallas. He covers the Cowboys. Jerry and the Cowboys waited too long to sign Dak. Eagles signed Carson Wentz, made the market jump again. There's a lot of psychology to this. And I'm not criticizing Carson Wentz for taking the contract. If I was Carson Wentz and I had those injuries, college, pro, and you offered me 128, and I think this kid mostly likes to hunt and fish, you know, he's not a big city kid, that's a lot of money. Take the money. But if Carson Wentz had never been hurt, I don't think I'd take the money. I'd be like, I can afford an injury. You're not going to get rid of me. Got rid of Nick Foles, not getting rid of me. So Howie Roseman smartly knows the psychology of the injury, and he also knows the psychology in division, forcing the Dallas Cowboys now to pay over $30, $31 million for Dak Prescott. Very, very smart by the Philadelphia Eagles. It feels very Belichickian. Turn your homework in early. Bang it on the table in front of the rest of the class. Homework's done. And then watch everybody in the room go, well, why is he done so early? Oh, my God, I got to hurry up. Gets in everybody's head a little bit. Nice job by the Eagles. And I do believe Carson Wentz is terrific. Let me shift to this. The hardest thing for me to do as a parent is not feed my kids. It's not educate my kids. It's not go on vacations with my kids. That's the easy part. One of the hardest things for me to do as a parent running the household is discipline my kids. Because kids are kids. They make mistakes. So do adults. But let's talk about kids. So if my daughter does something and I don't approve of it and I have to punish her, I'm thinking about this. Okay, she's pretty hard on herself, so I don't want to overpunish her. How's this going to look for my son? Because he's likely to make way worse mistakes than my daughter. And then my kids ask me, Dad, did you ever do this? Yeah, I did. Did your parents punish you? No, not really. How does it land? And the truth is, until you have kids, there's no rule book. Mark Stevens is an investor owner for the Golden State Warriors, put his hand in a player. According to multiple reports, yelled bad stuff at Lowry of the Raptors, too. I don't have audio tape of that, but that's one of the claims. I said yesterday I would get him out of the ownership circle. And then for one of the rare times, I went home and actually watched my rant on that. I usually don't do that. I don't like to watch my work, never have, whatever. And I thought to myself, you know, it's so easy for me to say that, but I'm not a commissioner. Ask Roger Goodell the hardest thing he's dealt with. It's not going to networks and asking for billions. They all line up. That's easy. It's not glad handing Kraft. Where has Roger Goodell struggled? Punishment. Deflategate, domestic violence. That's where Goodell is uneven. People feel misguided. Adam Silver yesterday got a lot of heat for this, because Adam Silver didn't kick him out of the ownership group. And I think Adam Silver's as smart, as progressive, as forward-thinking as everybody, and has also been a great pro-player commissioner. So Adam Silver did what I proposed: swift, intense punishment. Not as far as I would have gone, but you know what I think with Adam Silver? I think, like a parent, he had a lot of stuff to think about. How does it land with other owners? How will it land in 8 years? We did that thing to the fan in Utah, but this is an owner who I'm not saying no to. I would be ejecting from an ownership club that's the most noteworthy in the league currently. Adam Silver talked about his decision, and I've watched Goodell, who I think is a great commissioner, struggle with punishment, and I watched Adam Silver yesterday, and I could sense how uncomfortable he was.
It's not a science in terms of making these decisions. I think ultimately we felt that given how contrite Mr. Stevens was, the fact that he was extraordinarily apologetic, the fact that he had no blemishes on his prior involvement with the NBA or the Warriors, that a one-year ban seemed appropriate together with a fine.
And not only is punishment hard, it's gotten way more difficult with social media. I mean, yesterday, I led my show with it. It's one of the most downloaded things I've ever done. Within an hour, everybody had an opinion. Some are qualified opinions. Some are connected opinions. Some are just opinions. Social media has made being a commissioner and dealing with punishment exceptionally hard. Here comes the avalanche. But a commissioner, I was very emotional on the air yesterday. And I still think I would throw him out of the ownership circle. But commissioners are not allowed to be emotional. They have to act swiftly without emotion. And I can tell you, of having done this job for 30 years, to act without emotion in the moment is almost impossible for me. 5 days later, 9 days later, 12 days later. But Adam Silver had to make a decision quickly. Why? Because it's in the middle of the finals. If this was Tuesday, Denver, January, he could take 2 weeks on it. The finals are down 18%. The last thing he's going to do is let this puppy drag out for 9 days, steal every headline, and ding the championship. Good God, you don't want to drag it out so it not only dings the championship, but it dings your free agency. The two biggest things in the NBA, and I think they're both way bigger than the regular season, the finals and July free agency. If you throw this owner out, you have just for the next month, half the headlines are Mark Stevens fighting a lawsuit, litigation against the league. This is outrageous. So I'm not defending Adam Silver, nor did I ever feel like I needed to defend Roger Goodell. I'm just telling you, punishment is hard. And the explosion of social media has made it exponentially harder. I think Adam wanted this story over. It is the second biggest fine ever, I'm told. But it's hard. These are really hard. You'd think the commissioner, oh, he has to broker a deal with the Chinese television network. That stuff's easy because people are lining up to buy the NBA. If the NBA today opened up all their television rights, we'd bid on it, and the teams at Turner would bid on it, and overseas companies would bid on it. There's 33 sports networks. They'd all bid on it. That's the easy stuff. But a star does something wrong, a fan screams. Look at all the difficulty in the last 2 months. Westbrook fan, Kyle Lowry owner. Look at all, this is hard. Easy for me. I just have an opinion and it goes away. So this morning, Adam Silver made a decision. Many people are not satisfied. And you and I can argue about this forever. But I thought I'd add perspective today. I went home and watched my take on it. And I don't think I was wrong, but I think I was emotional. And I thought, commissioners, they're not allowed to be emotional. I mean, ever notice the commissioners always have the same personality? You ever notice that? Like, hockey guy is baseball guy, is Roger Goodell, is Adam Silver. And Silver's actually, by commissioner standards, he's Carrot Top. He's Chris Rock. He's hysterical. Most are dry. Most are unemotional. Many come from accounting. Many come from dry economic backgrounds to make harsh, intense decisions without emotion. In fact, one of my knocks on David Stern, he was often too emotional. He'd scream and yell, and I don't think that's great for a commissioner. But what Adam Silver did, now Kyle Lowry, by the way, is not satisfied on the one-year ban and the heavy fine. Heavy for me, maybe not for a billionaire. Here's Kyle Lowry.
I don't think I could have handled it any better. I'm glad I did what I did, and the support I've gotten from fellow players, the league has been unbelievable. With that being said, I think more should be done. You know, I don't think he's not a good look for the ownership group that they have. A guy like that showing his true class, and he shouldn't be a part of our league. There's just no place for that.
Now, that's where I agree. I do believe it's a very, very, it's not about letting any billionaire in. It's the world's biggest country club. And country clubs, regardless of your income, do not have to let you in. And I think being an NBA owner or part owner or an NFL owner or a baseball owner or a hockey owner or owning Liverpool, there is a responsibility beyond, I got a bunch of money. Do you handle yourself with dignity? Are you in it for the right reasons? Do you understand the culture of your league? And I think this was a terrible look for the Warriors. Steve Kerr, it should be noted, immediately came out and apologized for the organization and defended the player, the opposing player, which said volumes to me is that it didn't play well in the Warriors' locker room. It didn't play well anywhere in the Warriors organization because Steve Kerr came out within a New York minute and had a strong opinion against one of his slash owner investor. I'd say owner more than investor. So, and now for the record, if Stevens is forced to sell and anybody out there seeking vengeance, he's going to make five times his money. So don't ever get caught up in he's a rich guy. I want to punish him. Rich guys figure out ways to make money. I think the punishment here is this gentleman doesn't understand how prestigious, coveted, and important the ownership circle is. It's not just about your money. It's about your decency. It's about your understanding of the sports culture. It's about being a good citizen. And I think here Mark Stevens failed. Not saying he's a bad human. There, he was a jerk.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There's excuses. Dog ate my homework. And there are reasons. Our school bus got hit, T-boned on the way to school. We're going to be late. Does everybody get... There's a story this morning. There's a good chance Kevin Durant returns for games 5 and 6 from his calf injury. We all understand now that this injury, as Chris Carter said this morning on First Things First, is way more serious than we were led to believe 2 days after it happened.
We have said it's a strained calf. I'm willing to bet money that he's torn part of his calf. That's the reason why he's been out a month. A strained calf, you're healed before a month. He's been out. I believe it's torn. He can't play 3 games at Kevin Durant level in 6 days.
Klay Thompson, by the way, popped a hamstring. So Klay Thompson, they say, is going to play tonight. Everybody realizes in the world, he's going to be at about 70, 75%. You've seen Boogie. You know, he had a muscle pop out of his skin. He's at about 70%. He's had his good moments, but he's out of shape, and he has no wind at all. So I've got Klay Thompson at 70%. Kevin Durant hasn't played. Boogie at 70%. Kayvon Looney's out, and Iggy's about 80%. Folks, if they don't win this finals, injury's the reasons. Sorry if that bothers you. But Kevin Durant missing the finals would be like Michael Jordan missing a finals, LeBron missing a finals, Larry Bird missing a finals, Olajuwon missing a finals, Karl Malone missing the finals for Utah. It's a thing. Those are not excuses. Listen, think about this. So you've got KD and Looney out. Klay started the series, got hurt, missed games, coming back along with Boogie. Isn't that the equivalent of Michael Jordan's Bulls? Michael Jordan comes back to a series after a calf strain by game 5. Ron Harper, you had him, you lost him. Out for the series. Luke Longley comes back after an injury a month ago. He's about 70% and inconsistent. And oh, by the way, Tony Kukoc has been ruled out. We wouldn't blame the Bulls, but we liked the Bulls. For whatever reasons, maybe it's just MJ, the time, we loved the Bulls. We didn't hold it against the Bulls. And the Bulls, frankly, they had a handful of injuries. But I've never seen a finals like this. It's not that players are getting hurt. It's their best players. It's not like Quinn Cook is hurt. Alphonso McKinney. It's Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Iggy, Boogie Cousins. If they lose, it's no shot at Toronto. But you take Magic and Worthy out of a Laker final, one of them out completely, the other 60, 70%, it's not the same basketball team.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Here's Chris Broussard. All right, here's my theory on this thing. Is that as much as we think the Knicks are great, they ended up with an old T-Mac and a mostly shot D-Rose and an old Sheed and Jason Kidd at the end of his career and Amari with bad knees. They're dancing with the stars. That you're trying to reboot your career on that show. They never end up with the guy.
I love your analogy. That's hilarious. I got another one. They think, the Knicks think, you ever see the movie Shallow Hal? When Jack Black thought he had Gwyneth Paltrow. But,
right.
You know, that's the Knicks. When I moved to New York, I grew up in the Midwest. And I moved to New York in 1998 to work for the New York Times and eventually covered the Nets first, then the Knicks. I was shocked at how much New Yorkers, particularly the media, thought how great the Knicks were. Like, they thought the Knicks were the Lakers, the Cowboys, the Yankees. Every time there was a free agent, at that time, I think Chris Webber at 1 year.
Yeah.
Grant Hill. Even when the Knicks didn't have money, everybody swore they're getting one of these guys. They'll figure something out. These guys will take less, whatever. And I had to tell them, look, I grew up in the Midwest. The Knicks are nothing. If you don't grow up in New York, the Knicks were like the 13th team I thought about when I thought about the NBA as a kid.
Yeah, when I grew up as a kid, the Detroit Pistons were great. Washington was great. The Northwest team, Seattle, Portland were great.
Right. Of course, the Lakers. Detroit, Philadelphia, Houston. Like, the Knicks are not that team. And the worst thing about it with your example, Dancing with the Stars, is that the Stars tease them. Like, every time they go there, they're like, it's the Mecca of basketball. You love playing here in the Garden.
Kobe and MJ is my favorite place
to
play.
Right, so they tease them, you know.
But by the way, there's a lot of places I like to visit. I love visiting New Orleans. Right? I mean, don't get me wrong. I've had some of my best nights in New Orleans. Doesn't mean necessarily everybody wants to move their family there unless you're born and raised in Louisiana. Then it's right. Like, there are places in the world, the Knicks could be one of them. They're a great place to visit. You don't necessarily want to move and live there for the rest of your life. Colin, and that's not a knock on Louisiana, but it's a party city.
I was talking to someone within the Knicks organization yesterday. And we were talking about the Kyrie thing, how it really looks like he's leaning toward Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And the person said, if we don't get someone this summer, then we might as well just go Atlanta Hawks mode. Just forget free agency for the future and just rebuild through the draft and with young players. Like, forget it. Because, look, as bad as it was in 2010 when LeBron went to Miami and blew off the Knicks, the difference is that they hoped they could get LeBron. The fans, everybody hoped they would get LeBron. Now, they believed they were getting Kevin Durant and still believe they're getting Kevin Durant. So if this summer, when you have two max slots, when you have all these free agents, when all this talk has been about Durant and someone else going to New York, if they don't get anybody, it is going to – this will be the worst summer that they've ever experienced.
This whole thing is crazy. I read a story this morning, and I want to talk about KD. He's not coming back 100% for the series. This has got to be eating him alive. This was going to be, Chris, such a clean break. My third title, I'm the MVP, and I'm going east. It'd be perfect. It's like a movie. This now is a cobbled mess. This is not how movies end. He's going to sit there on the sideline. Toronto may win this series now. Clay's hobbled.
Right.
I mean, I look at this and I think, man, is this how KD wants to end this dynasty? This is a bad ending.
It is. Of course, you don't ever want to end it like this. However, if they lose this series and he leaves, I mean, they can't kill him. Like, he's free to go somewhere else. The question is, do you leave Golden State to go to Brooklyn? Like, I don't see that. Like, the Clippers aren't anything special either historically, but at least it's L.A. and it's a little, a little something else going.
So Kevin Durant, who's very sensitive, we would acknowledge that.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. So Kevin Durant has heard for 3 years, you joined a Hall of Fame level point guard. It was his team. So now Kyrie's from Jersey will be seen as the Nets team. So now you're going to join a little flakier ball-centric Hall of Fame level point guard, and it's his team first.
Look, good point, because the Knicks, when they get to talk to KD, because they know Kyrie is recruiting, not going to recruit, recruiting KD, already talking to him about let's go to Brooklyn instead. And some of the feeling, I don't know if this is actually how Kyrie feels, but the feeling among some people in the league is that the reason he prefers Brooklyn is because if it doesn't work out, if you don't win a championship there, you're not getting killed. You go to New York with all the hype of KD and Kyrie coming there. Expectations are championship by year three. And if you don't deliver, we've seen it with all the legends that have gone there and failed. They kill you. So there's some of that thinking. But when the Knicks get to talk to KD, what you just said will be part of what they say. They'll say, look, you the man. Why are you following Kyrie? He's supposed to follow you.
Thank you.
Whoever you play with, KD, should follow you.
But
you don't want that narrative. Just what you said. I've heard that from the Knicks. So if when they get in front of KD and it looks like Brooklyn is a real threat, they're going to be like, KD, this is why you leave in Golden State, because you don't want that narrative again. Now you're going to go do it all over again?
With a flakier point guard.
Have somebody join you? Yeah. Like, at least Golden State, you knew you were going to win.
Well, and also, I mean, just the personality. Steph is, if nothing else, wildly stable and dependable.
Right.
I mean, Kyrie is incredibly talented, but I think even Kyrie fans, he's a little more erratic. He's moved away from successful partnerships. Yeah, I'm with you on this. I let me just throw this at you. Somebody told me this years ago. The strongest word on-air talent people should ever use is no. Because managers hear, oh, here's some money, want the job. Yes, I'll take the job. And you say, no. Well, time out, we got to have a meeting. The host doesn't take the... No is powerful.
Right.
Waiting is powerful. Patience is powerful. LeBron would have been better off sitting this year out and perusing the landscape. In 1 year from now, if KD comes back to the Warriors, who's available next year? What teams next year have space? If he just comes back and says, you know what? I watched LeBron. Probably should have taken a deep breath. I'll go back to Golden State, win. In 1 year, does Dallas now with Porzingis and Luka have an opening? Like, who's in a year?
There's that, but also, even the teams now that have space, what those teams should do is, if you don't, like, let's say the Knicks strike out.
Right.
Don't go out there and foolishly spend your money on guys that don't deserve it.
Tobias Harris.
That are just going to make you mediocre.
Yeah, good player.
Like, save your money, because then at least you can make trades when you have cap room. Maybe next summer when AD is available. Like you said, maybe KD, if he were to stay, he'd be available. But from KD's perspective, he can look at the landscape. Where does Kyrie go? How does it work out? Where does Kawhi go? How does it work out? What's going on with the Clippers? It doesn't even have to be different teams. It will be some of them, but it doesn't have to be different teams. You can just watch and see how this plays out with the current teams that have cap room.
It's crazy. So Klay plays tonight. Klay will not be 100%. He popped a hamstring. They'll probably want to get about 28 minutes out of him. If nothing, he's a great decoy.
They need 20-plus points.
My takeaway is, what do you think happens tonight?
Well, I'm going to stick with my pick of Golden State in six, but I'm not hung up on the games now. I'm just hung up on Golden State.
Now, Kerr said, what is this, Joy? Kerr said that Durant will be available for game five.
Well, possibly five or six.
So said, is that
we've been hearing
is that telling
the
you
Portland series.
If Golden State wins tonight, it's six.
I would believe that.
That's
yes.
What I think.
Yes. But I'm if you put a gun to my head, I don't know now, because I've heard so many things about KD. I heard before the final started, he's not going to play. It's worse than people are letting on. This was from people close to it. Then, of course, there came out the reports that he'll be ready for game three or four or now five or six. So I don't know what to believe. But if you put a gun to my head and I had to make a bet, I would say I don't think he plays in the series.
That's what Joy says.
Yeah, just because, like, this has been going on now for a month. Oh, he might be back in a few games. He might be back in a few weeks. And it just keeps getting longer and longer. I'm not a doctor, obviously, a sports doctor who watched KD in some of these clips. When KD had the ice pack on, the doctor said to me, why is the ice pack so low? It's not on his calf. The ice pack was down below the calf, near the Achilles. He wasn't suggesting it's a torn Achilles, but that's not where the ice pack would be on a strained calf. So,
oh my.
They need a healthy Klay. I think they can win it without KD, but not a healthy Klay.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So yesterday, it was a big NFL news. The Philadelphia Eagles, 2 years before they had to, sign Carson Wentz to a big contract, $128 million, like 30-some guaranteed a year, all that stuff. And I have no problem with it. I think there's a handful of teams in the NFL, eight or nine, that are very well run. Philadelphia is one of them, Colts, New England. I think Rams, Chargers, both in L.A. are well run. I think Dallas is better run than people think. I think Seahawks are pretty well run. Kansas City is well run. Green Bay historically has been pretty well run. And then there's a bunch of franchises that have talent but aren't necessarily always well run. Philadelphia, Howie Roseman knows what he's doing. The owner, the coach, the GM, the quarterback, they secure it. You know, here's the thing. I love the quarterback position. I was a terrible quarterback in high school, but I love the position. It's a leadership position. And I'm very critical of quarterbacks. In fact, if you look at how much I talk football, I would say half of my football discussions are just about quarterbacks. Because I think they are the soccer stars and the NBA stars of their sport. I love football, but I'm not going to break down offensive linemen, interior pass rush, zone blitzes. I talk quarterbacks a lot. I've read every book on quarterbacks. I put them in tiers, in rankings, in groupings, and that's what I do, and it drives some people crazy. If you take the next 5 years in college football and the last 8 to 10 years in the NFL, let's say a decade, last 15 years, there are four quarterbacks, in my opinion, who are just different from a skill standpoint. Andrew Luck, Patrick Mahomes, Carson Wentz, and a kid at Clemson named Trevor Lawrence. Those are the next four superstars for 20 years, 15 years. Now, I follow high school college football recruiting. Trevor Lawrence is the best high school quarterback talent I have seen since Andrew Luck, and I think he has a better arm than Andrew Luck. I think he could be better than Andrew Luck, and I don't say that lightly. So two of these guys, Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence, you can kind of see coming for miles. Two of them, Patrick Mahomes and Carson Wentz, kind of snuck up on us. But I consider those four to really be different. Big, fast, arm, athletic, work ethic. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes' dad, a little bit of pro athlete. Andrew Luck's dad, a little bit of pro athlete. I mean, Wentz is 6'5", got a cannon for an arm, can run all over the field. Trevor Lawrence, I watched him play in high school. He just did not look like anybody I've ever seen throwing a football in high school. Didn't look like anybody. And I've gone to all these high school camps. I've never seen a high school quarterback. I saw him surrounded by 9 other 5-star high school quarterbacks. He looked like a college quarterback, and he was 17 years old. He was actually throwing the ball better than a handful of NFL guys could throw it, and I'm not joking on that. So I think you signed the deal. Now, of course, with Andrew Luck and Carson Wentz, you've had injuries, but I think you rolled the dice on that. If you look at Carson Wentz's career stats, these are amazing. He started as a rookie, and they had a very chaotic offensive line situation as a rookie. They had no wide receivers as a rookie, and his stats all time are 64% completion percentage. Almost 3 times as many touchdowns as picks and a passer rating 92.5. The kid's a stud. He really is. Now, do you worry about the injury stuff? Yeah. But I think Howie Roseman's smart and he figured it out. He said, you know what? If we wait a year or two and Patrick Mahomes' contract comes up and they're going to offer Patrick $200 million, we might as well just give this kid a lot of money now. And in the meantime, force the Dallas Cowboys into a little uncomfortable situation where, oh, crap, we sign this now, Carson Wentz, then the Cowboys probably have to pay Dak over $30 million a year because that's what Carson's going to get. Now, I think Carson's worth it. If you pay Dak that, you're not going to be able to sign everybody Dallas has drafted extraordinarily well. In fact, Field Yates put this up yesterday on Twitter. The Eagles' veterans players are now signed for at least 3 more years. So you're going to have a 3-year run of Philadelphia. They're going to be a pain in the arse to deal with. That's why I've said I think New England and Kansas City and the Colts and the Steelers are favorites to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC. I think there's 4 really good teams. Keep your eye on the Chargers. They got a good roster. I think Philadelphia is my favorite to get in the NFC. I think I like Philadelphia a lot, so I like the move.
What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out podcast, brought to you by the Colin Cowherd Podcast Network. You like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I talk football, football, and more football. Coming up, Freddie Kitchens, is he in over his head? Not an easy first year coming up. George Kittle talked about something with pass rushers that got me thinking. We'll dive into it all on the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff.
We do something called Tomorrow's Headlines Today, where Jason, with bizarre cunning accuracy, tries to make predictions. Will the Raptors upset the Warriors and win the title? Tomorrow's Headline Today.
Game 4 tonight. I think the Raptors will probably win the NBA Finals. I think they're going to win the title. And Colin, the headline will be, yawn. I'm kind of over it already, aren't you? I mean, it's been a bad finals, let's be honest.
I didn't think the last game had any juice.
I mean, listen, we're talking about the 3 biggest stories in the finals involve Drake on the sideline with Steph Curry, Draymond Green. We got the owner, minority owner of the Warriors shoving a player and Kevin Durant sitting out because he's injured. Those are the three storylines. Imagine the Super Bowl, okay? And one of the biggest stars did not play in the game. That's what we're looking at here. Kevin Durant, best player in the NBA, not even playing?
Didn't we have that?
Well, I mean, Michael...
Todd Gurley was out.
Michael Jordan Close. Out of the finals. That's what we're talking about here. LeBron, Bird, Magic.
Yeah,
Listen, I love basketball, but I have found myself the other night, I was sitting there thinking, God, this feels like Sacramento against Dallas. It just had no juice.
I don't know if it's that bad, but people, when I mentioned putting an asterisk by the title, people freaked out on me a couple days ago. And it was one of those situations where when you look at the Cavs losing to the Warriors in 2015, people said, well, no Kevin Love and Kyrie. Those are the second and third best players, okay? Kevin Durant is the best player. We established that a long time ago. If the best player doesn't play, it's tough to get into this game. We're talking about Quinn Cook and Jonas Jerebko, Colin. Like, those guys are talking points.
We're also seeing great players like Boogie, who are not at 100%.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to it.
It's been yawn-inducing. Let's be real. Friday night, game four. Is this mandatory for you tonight, or are you kind of...
It's funny. I'll watch it, but I always try to be a consumer. I don't feel massive urgency. I don't feel like I felt the couple years ago and Love, Kyrie, LeBron.
Yeah, super teams.
Yeah, I mean, that was like, I could not wait for the games to happen. All right, tomorrow's headlines today. Will KD leave the Warriors in the offseason?
I think it's pretty clear. Last week here, I said 31-1, that stat's irrelevant. The headline will be Match Made in Kevin. Colin, there is a lot of juice. I've been talking to someone around the team in Toronto, went with them to the Bay Area. There is a feeling Kevin Durant is needed on this team. The players know it. You can see it. Kevin Durant's really invested. Look at these numbers. They're down without him offensively. And Colin, when you look defensively, this team is just it's a joke defensively.
They're not as good. No, they miss his length. Kevin Durant gets a bad rap because I don't think he was a great defender early. Kevin Durant's an underrated defender, if for no other reason is length.
Yeah, and you can't switch on everything. And they gave up, 123 points? I mean, the offense has been hurting a bit. But they did score 109 in each game. That should be good to win. Last year's Cavs topped 109 only once, and these Raptors are just getting whatever they want. There's a vibe. Kevin Durant seriously could stay in Golden State after this. I know a lot of guys at this network disagree with me. He's gone. Colin, are you starting to come around? Match made in Kevin?
I would never, as his agent, tell him to take less money and go to a worse ownership group. I could never tell my client that. I would just say, listen, I rely on my agent. I say to my agent, how does it land for you? If he comes out and says, well, you're going to make less money and work for a significantly worse ownership group, I would advise you, in my opinion, you're better served here for a year. I think Kevin ends his career elsewhere. I just don't think today's the day he should go.
It feels like unfinished business. They lose the finals. Wait a second. Wait, you guys need me. Let me come back, win another championship, and then look elsewhere before departing this summer.
Tomorrow's headlines today, which big-name star signs with the Knicks?
Oh, boy, Colin. A month ago, it looked great, right? Oh, we got Zion. We got Durant, Kyrie. Right now, the headline will be New York Knicks'd. Oh, and James Dolan looking very forlorn there for the Knicks. And again, seriously, a month ago, we got Zion in the lottery, and Durant wants to come here. You saw the Kyrie Irving stuff that's popped yesterday. He's hanging out with Brooklyn Nets up in the club. I've been saying for a while on this network, Kyrie Irving has been texting Nets players all season. There is a connection there. Is he going to go there? Who knows? It's fluid. But right now, the Knicks could be in the mix. Remember when you did a worst-case scenario maybe a week ago on free agents? It's starting to feel that way for the Knicks, Colin.
Hey, this morning, I strongly believe this, and I said it on Monday, people that I trust are telling me Kyrie has told Brooklyn, I'm coming. That's why Brooklyn yesterday was willing to give up two first-round picks.
Trade.
And they did that because Kyrie has told them, I'm coming here. By the way, Kyrie had an Instagram post yesterday where he talked about there's no place like home. I think Kyrie has told the Nets, I'm coming. That gave them the confidence to move two first-round picks out, getting another max
now
slot.
It's unclear who they'll get. Jimmy Butler will be in the
I
mix.
I think that's
as we've said on this show before, Jimmy Butler and Kyrie are tight. I personally don't think Kevin Durant would want to join Kyrie Irving.
I agree with that.
It just doesn't really make sense.
I'm in the minority, but I agree with you.
And then Kawhi Leonard's not going to Brooklyn. I don't see that
happening.
I think
Jimmy Butler's the landing spot. Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving. Listen, the Nets' history, they'd be overjoyed with that. They would be absolutely...
And they would be a top three or four team in the East, especially if Kawhi leaves for the Clippers.
Well, they'd be one of the more interesting teams, period. And that ownership group wants to be interesting because when you're battling the Knicks, the Jets, the Yankees, the Mets, and, plays a big part.
If LeBron's watching, LeBron, what's plan C and D and E? Because you guys don't get Jimmy Butler, boy.
Oof. Tomorrow's headlines today. Will the Cowboys give Dak a big deal like Wentz got with the Eagles?
I love this topic. I can't wait for my radio show tomorrow. At least an hour on it. Colin, you've heard of the phrase lame duck president, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I think the headline will be lame Dak quarterback. I know you like to get punny with it. Listen, you can't give Dak Prescott $30 million. Carson Wentz got a lot. He's established himself. He was an MVP leader before the injury against the Rams.
Yeah, they were 11-2 years ago, and he was going to win the MVP away.
There's a list floating around right now of all the $30 million quarterbacks, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson. Well, there's a common thread. They've all won something. Dak Prescott has, I think, one playoff victory. Like, this is not a guy you can pay $30 million. If you do that, you can just forget about Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott. I don't think they will pay Dak. I don't see how you can.
Well, they have two world-class linebackers. It feels like you'd have to make a choice on one, and they're both unbelievable, Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith. Now, Jalen's had the injury, so you'd probably go with a guy that hasn't had the injury in football, and then you'd be giving up a Pro Bowl level. You got Jones, the corner's unbelievable.
Excellent. Listen, I like Dak Prescott. He's a good quarterback, but when you're talking about paying him $30 million in that upper echelon, I don't think he's there yet. He's a cut above average, is he not?
Here's the thing. If you're Jerry Jones, the bottom line is, just think, again, how does an owner see the world? Obviously, Jerry wants to win. But Jerry's DNA, he's a businessman.
Oh, boy.
Dak makes you. We talk about Dak like we talked about Romo. He's on every show in
but
the football
isn't
season.
That the case for whoever is quarterback
no,
of the Cowboys?
No, when Quincy Carter quarterbacked the Cowboys, I wasn't talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. He's not Quincy Carter.
I think Dak makes them, first of all, when Dak is quarterbacking, they're not chaotic. They're solid. They're not, Goulet goes crazy on this, but the Cowboys with Dak, you always feel like they won't melt down. They won't get blown out. They'll go on the road. They've got a grown up. I'm not saying he's great, but...
I think that's a bit strong. They won't melt down? I mean, how many nightmarish plays did he have in that game against Seattle? That playoff game at home. I don't know. I mean, listen, I would sooner roll the dice with a medium backup quarterback.
Oh, God.
With those skill position players, they're loaded at the skill positions.
You can't win in this league with a C-minus QB. Can't.